Gospel according to John, chapter number 8. It's always a very humbling experience to preach, stand in the pulpit of another pastor that we've had good fellowship with down through the years. And appreciate Brother Titus. You know, you wonder, I'm sure people wonder, how do you pick conference speakers? Well, I'm going to confess that I don't know very many people that I wouldn't like to have preach every year at our conference. But I'm going to tell you something else, too. Some people got seniority. Older men that have been coming faithfully for a number of years and would come whether they were invited to preach or not. They kind of get on top of the list. You might say, well, I wouldn't do it that way. I just can't get away from honor to whom honor's due and tribute to whom tribute. Faithfulness has some merit to it. And so it's an honor to us to have the ones that we have preach. It's an honor, I hope it's an honor to the ones that preach to come and preach, because we're all servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We wouldn't be saved if it wasn't for Him. We wouldn't be called to preach if it wasn't for Him. And in John chapter 8, verse 31, we're actually going to do a brief word study tonight. John chapter 8 and verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We want to look at some places in the Bible where that either the word continue or the idea of continuing is taught or implied. And the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ here, some Jews which believed on Him, He gave them basically one admonition: continue in my word. There's no secret to being faithful in the service of the Lord. We have to start out because we love the Lord Jesus Christ and realize what He's done for us, and then we have to continue. It's a day-to-day affair. It's a week-to-week affair. It's a service-to-service affair. We meet people, and I'm sure you do, as you talk to people about the Lord and you witness to people about the Lord, and they say, well, I'm going to be there. Sometimes you'll find people, they'll say, well, you know, I served the Lord for a long time, and I believe what you do, and I just kind of stopped somewhere, and things just didn't go like I thought they would. They never do when you do that. The only blessings for the people of God are for those who continue. Anything worthwhile in life has to be continued. If you're going to get a degree, you have to go to school. You have to have so many credit hours. You have to take certain subjects in order to get that degree, and you have to continue. If you're building a house, you have to continue. If you're buying an automobile, you usually have to continue to make payments, or at least you have to continue to save. Some of the most important things in life, we have to continue doing. If we go to the doctor and he says, I need to see you every week for the next 6 months and monitor your progress, I think we can help you, but I want to see you every Monday for the next 6 weeks. Cancel all your out-of-town trips and be in here. Your life depends on it. Every one of us will take their advice. It's important. And the important things are things that we continue in. I pursued a young lady for 2 years. Before we married, I was there every time her mom and dad let me come. They set our restrictions. I bargained and begged. 1 year I was a 16-year-old boy. I went deer hunting. I asked them on Sunday night. I said, if I kill a deer tomorrow, can I come tomorrow night? Mama said, yeah, you can. They kind of laughed. I shot a deer and I was over there to tell her about it. So I did everything I could to be there. And we're still continuing. Or has blessed us this year with 37 wonderful years together. But anything worthwhile, you have to continue doing. We look here now in John 15 and 9, if you'll turn with us. Our service to the Lord. Now, I know what Brother Hancock's text is tonight, and I'm not going to use it. But our service to the Lord is something that we do because we love Him. In John 15 and 9, As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Continue ye in my love. So we continue in the Word when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as we grow and mature. And then Jesus said, if you're going to serve me, you're going to have your highest motivation is going to have to be because you love me. That also applies to things important. My children don't always please me, but I love them. There isn't anything that I wouldn't do for them if I could, because I love them. They haven't always done what I said, and they haven't always taken my advice. And yet, I can hear that phone ring, and our daughter calls, and when she wants to know something, she always says, "Hey, Dad." She doesn't say, "Hi, this is Melissa. Go jump in the lake." She just says, "Hey, Dad." And I say, "What do you need, sis?" Because I know why she calls in that tone of voice. And if I have it within my power, I'll either give her the advice to help her or help her however I'm physically able to help her, because I love her. And in the Lord's work, so many times we hear people talk about being discouraged and quitting and wanting to quit and thinking about quitting, and yet the greatest work has been continuing, I'm sure. And I understand a little bit of some of the things Brother Phillips has been going through. Brother Gary, we may have to learn someday that to stay steady on the job is a lot better than running fast like a rabbit and then having to stop and start all over again after we recover. So we have to continue, but the continuing doesn't talk about speed. It's talking about constant. It's talking about patience. It's talking about faithfulness. It's talking about endurance. In Hebrews 13:1, the Bible simply says, let brotherly love continue. That's involved in the work of the Lord too. Everybody in your church won't always please you. And the pastor won't always please the people either, no matter how wonderful he may be or think he is. He won't always please everybody. But you continue in love. And the point that we want to make is, there are no promised blessings in the Word of God for those who do not continue. Noah continued for 120 years building an ark for a rain that never had come and a flood that he didn't even understand. But he continued. Abraham continued. If you study the travels of Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees up until the Promised Land and all the places he went, he traveled over 10,000 miles with camels and tents and a large family and an army and his herds. Took a while. And you know what he had? Somebody said had the land promised. God promised to give him a land. No, read that real careful. God promised to show him a land. Didn't promise to give him a land. Promised to give it to his seed. But he said, I want to take you unto a land which I shall show thee. And he believed God and he continued. There are others in the Bible who continued. Daniel lasted through the kingdoms of four pagan kings. And he continued to go down and face the east and pray three times a day. Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego continued to maintain that they were not going to have any other gods before Jehovah.
Amen, brother.
Daniel continued to maintain that he wouldn't defile himself with the king's meat or at the king's table or at the king's wine. He continued to maintain that conviction. We need to find out what the Bible teaches us and love the Lord Jesus Christ enough to continue. In Acts 1 and 14, before the day of Pentecost had its occurrence of them being immersed by the Lord Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit and the church being identified and accredited as a place where the Lord would dwell among His people and as the institution that He'd be the head of. In Acts 1 and 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren. I want you to notice they continued with one accord. You know why disunity reigns in so many Baptist churches? The people do not come to church with the idea in mind, we are going to have unity no matter what. You have to come to church intending to have unity. When you come to church intending to have unity, you can have unity because you love the Lord enough and you're wanting to continue in the Word of God and you can lay your will down. Say, we want what the Lord wants. And if they want to paint the wall in off-white, instead of the pure white, and the majority's for it. I'll lay my will down regardless of what I want, and that's what we'll do, and we'll glorify the Lord because we're going to have unity. You have to go to church with the idea in mind. We're going to pray, we're going to seek the will of the Lord, and we're going to have unity. Our church comes together. I must admit that one of my biggest problems, I had to be sure the Lord was in it, and when I turned the church of Paducah down, I wasn't sure, and I didn't want to make that mistake. But I didn't really care about following Eugene Clark. I loved him. He'd been a mentor of mine. But I wasn't wild about the idea of being his successor. It is fearful to me. But I'll tell you, Faith Missionary Baptist Church isn't perfect, and he warned me about that before we went. He said, there's a few things that I've not got completely straightened out yet. And I left Brother Hamill a few things that I didn't get completely straightened out. And so will everybody else. But the church meets from Sunday to Sunday, week to week, and in the conducting of the business of the church, the men and women of our church have one thought in mind. We are going to have unity. And you can go there and have your little spell about something, and you'll stick out like a mashed thumb. Yeah. Pretty soon you get to where you don't want to be the only one. That's the way it ought to be. I'm talking about following the Word of God, continuing in love, and continuing in one accord, and then in Acts 2:42, and this again is a word study, just a few things that we've taken and looked at, and the idea of all of this has to do with living by faith, day by day, praying, continuing, and having the interest of the kingdom of God in our hearts and minds. And in Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued, the Bible says here, steadfastly. You couldn't move them. They were single-minded. Their goal was the good of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they gave themselves to. That's what their purpose was when they met. And the Bible said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, we hear so much today about, well, don't teach doctrine. Folks, doctrine is teaching.
Amen.
A lot of these people, they sit on these councils and public talk shows and stuff like that, and I noticed you got to ask the pastors for them here, and yesterday when I didn't have much to do and displayed the lack of good sense, I watched that for a few minutes. They don't have the least idea what they're talking about. Their whole foundation's off. I never saw, there's a woman on there that doesn't know God, doesn't call women to preach. And she thinks her advice is right out of the book, and everything's out of context. I'm not a genius, but folks, there's some basic truth in the Word of God you can't ignore and come out right. Now, they continued steadfastly in some doctrine, and they had fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Paul closes almost every letter asking people one way or another to pray for him. Pray for him. Brethren, pray for us. And then Acts 2:46 said they continued daily. You know how we'd really like to do it? We'd like to continue on Sunday and Wednesday. And Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, not be too involved in continuing. The Christian walk is a daily walk. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And that daily walk, they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Acts 2:46. They were happy. You know what made them happy? They had a daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and with other brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's all it took to satisfy them. They didn't have to see how somebody else was doing it. They didn't look around and say, well, we're not keeping up. They continued daily with one accord. They had unity. The Bible said, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Singleness of heart means they had one purpose, and that is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And He had established His church during their personal ministry, And they all had scriptural baptism, and they were members of the church at Jerusalem. And in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19, the Bible says that not continuing is a manifestation of people's true heart. The Bible said they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. You know why people leave your church? Because they don't want to stay. They don't like what's going on. They don't like, say, well, you know, I think they left because they don't like what our pastor preaches. What gave you the first clue? That shouldn't be a mystery. Well, they left because somebody didn't shake hands with them Sunday morning. Don't believe it. They left because they thought somebody looked at them funny. People have been looking at me funny for years. I haven't figured out all the reasons why yet. But something happened. You know, wonder what happened. They went out from us because they never were of us. Because the Bible said that for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. They would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. There's some errors that we fall for sometimes just because we've heard it so much. Any of you ever been anywhere said, if you get some preachers in your church, get them out doing something quick as you can to cause trouble? How sad that we let somebody teach us that. Brother Kissel is there. Brother Clark is there where we are. And Brother Jess Hargrove is there. We've got about 8 or 10 preacher's kids in our church. We almost think it's an unwritten rule that if you got a few preachers in your church, you have to cause trouble. Why? Shouldn't be so. In fact, we ought to be able to be great blessings. We ought to know what to do to help a pastor and what to do not to hinder him or get in his way. We ought to know how to pray for him. We ought to know how to serve. I was pastor of a church or member of a church almost a year before I moved to North Carolina. And I didn't agree with the pastor 100% on everything. And I told him when I went there, I said, I'll leave before I give you any trouble. He wrote me a letter after I left, and he said, you're sorely missed. You kept your word, and we sure did appreciate you. I'm thankful for that. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on the Lord. I went there to go to church, worship the Lord. They had a pastor. I had no ambitions as far as that church and their pastor was concerned except to be a blessing to them, and I intended to do that. There's no mystery. You just continue. I know some of you here are not actively pastoring. And your reputation is that you've been a blessing where you are. That's wonderful. We're all serving the Lord. We're not running a race to see who's going to get out front. And if we have any crowns, we'll glorify the Lord with them. We won't say, our church did better than yours. It'll be because we're faithful. Continuing in all of these aspects has to do with the idea of maintaining faithful life. And the faithful life, when we come down to the end of it, if I understand the judgment right, when he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. God doesn't expect every individual to do exact same as the person that sits beside them. He doesn't expect every church to do exact same as some other churches that they may know of. Thou hast been faithful in a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many. I think God's economy of judgment is a lot different than we may imagine it to be. Over in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus said to some that he had some rewards for them, and he said, when you saw me hungry, you clothed me. When you saw me hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. And they said, Lord, when did we do that? What does that mean? They weren't doing what they did for a reward. They were continuing in His love. And it became second nature to them because they were just simply obeying the Lord. And He said, inasmuch as you did it unto the least, one of these. We think, and don't misunderstand me, I appreciate people in church. I'm not musically inclined. I've got one song. I sing a special once in a while. I've got one song that fits my voice. None of you have ever heard me sing it, and you may not. But I can't sing. I know I can't sing. Now, it's a greater disaster for somebody to sing that doesn't know they can't. But I know I can't. And I know my limits in some areas. I understand that. But folks, what God calls us to, and we lose sight of this so often, God calls us to faithfulness. He rewards faithfulness. He doesn't just reward faithfulness in preaching or in singing. He rewards faithfulness in living and acting as a Christian soldier in this old lost dying world and continuing and maintaining day by day. Hebrews 10:25, we all know what that says, and all of us preachers preach on it. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner some is. But folks, what that's really doing is telling us to assemble time after time after time after time until we leave this world or go to be with the Lord. What's it telling? Do it continually. You ever hear anybody say, well, I'll tell you what, I joined the church and I was there every service for 10 years and it's been 20 since it's been, but it just didn't work out for me. There's no blessings unless you continue. I've continued with struggles. I've continued with family problems. I've continued with children problems. And I don't mean that I'm to be bragged on or that I'm the example. But folks, if you let something stop you, that thing that stops you doesn't go away. If you let something discourage you, it's still there. You're not fixing it by quitting. You can even the problem, you can only help it by continuing. Someone, the Lord's blessed this church. Someone's continued. Brother Titus has continued, but you folks have continued with him. You've held his arms up. You've prayed for him. You've made him a good leader. You've set the example to others that his judgment was trustworthy. And he could be counted on when you're hurt and didn't know what to do. He could be counted on. He could probably stand his ground pretty good in a crisis. I'll inject a little bit of the sons of the prophets. You know, all of our churches go through this. Sometimes the Lord will save somebody and they've been a lost sinner on their road to hell. After they're saved about 6 months, they're a super saint. They know what the preacher ought to preach. They know what all the Sunday school teachers ought to teach. And if you just turn them loose, they'd straighten the church out in about 30 days. They'd fix all of the problems. You have to deal with those fellas too, and that takes some continuing. Really do. And they're critical sometimes. You have to drop, if you're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to drop that critical spirit and just continue. If they hear this tape, they'll know who I'm talking about, but I've already talked to them about it. had some youngsters here a while back. They thought I was preaching around certain groups in the church. They thought I was making exceptions for people out here. There were subjects I wasn't preaching on. And two of the people that they thought was in that group, after they lodged their complaint, more or less, came up before the church, confessed their sin about 3 or 4 Sundays after I talked to them. And I want to do like Brother V.A. Turner, look back at him and say, oh, what do you think about that, boys? But I didn't. But they looked a little funny. Because some of those people they thought I was preaching around come up before the church, said, need church, forgive us. You see, the Lord directs His word. I don't. And it always looks easier than it is. We are to continue to, when Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the second verse, he said, preach the word. We are to continue today if we want to be a blessing to our churches to preach the word.
Amen, brother.
Choice isn't ours. God's already made it. It's all that works. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We ought to study. We ought to know. We ought to be able to preach about the issues of our day. Like the prophets of old, they were criers a lot of times, and they were renouncing the things that were going on in both the religious and the secular world. And we ought to be informed, and we ought to be studious, and we ought to know. in order to tell our people and our communities. Folks, there's something that in every civilization has followed. Idolatry, turning away from God. You read some of the civilizations of the past. Every time that people have been given over to idolatry and superstition, and we are today, whether we want to admit it or not, a lot of Baptist people's got a lot of idols. And every time idolatry and superstition comes in, perverted lifestyles follow. There was no idolatry before the flood that we have record of. There was also no homosexuality before the flood that we have record of. Idolatry is superstition and an ungodliness that comes with that allows everything else to come along. You can trace it back to it in most civilizations. Roman Empire fell the same way our country's going. And we are fast following. In Acts 18:11, it's already been read here, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Paul had to stay at Corinth, and he had to continue preaching. That's all that would work. And the Lord saved a number of people that he had intended. And then we need to pray. You know how most of us pray? Lord, I've got this problem, and I'd like for you to solve it before daylight in the morning, whether it's your will or not, because I want to go on to the next one tomorrow and take care of it. Sometimes the Lord sends us problems because we get out ahead of him if we don't have some of those problems. He teaches us how to pray with our problems. He teaches us to not get too conceited with our problems. I've done my best. Some of the folks from over in our community are here. You know, I can hear, not real well, but you know, you hear a little thing. What do you think Brother Asbury is going to do when he goes to faith? I'm going to preach the word, do my best to mind my own business, be a good pastor and advisor to Faith Missionary Baptist Church. That's what it is my duty to do to those people who've called me and placed their confidence in me. I've been there 2 years last month, and I've just really tried to continue with what had been being done there. We've done a couple of things that hadn't been done before and gotten by with it. But I didn't have any ambition. I didn't go there and say, well, they're going to have to learn I'm not a Eugene Clark. You know, that's the first thing a lot of young preachers. Don't ever let anybody cause your young preachers to feel that way if you go somewhere where somebody else has been. I didn't have to go show them I wasn't Eugene Clark. They could look at us and tell the difference. I'm old enough that I've still got a lot of pride, more than I need, and I've got a lot more go ahead and get them than I ought to have sometimes when I ought to stop and listen. But I'm not on an ego trip anymore. I want to serve the Lord. I want our church to serve the Lord. I want to glorify God. I want to carry out the principles of the Word of God and preaching and teaching and being missionary. I want to give more to missions, not so anybody know about it, but the Lord. I want our people to witness more, not so we can brag about anything we're doing. I don't care, really, if anybody knows what we're doing, except that we're not falling apart. We've got nothing to prove. Some people said, Brother Asbury is Brother Clark's pet. I was. He liked to embarrass me to death some years ago. He got me up in front of the congregation. I was down there preaching last night. He said, Brother Jerry, come here. I already got back over to my pew. I don't know what he's going to do. He got me up, put his arm around me, and he said, he's thanking the Lord for the way he'd blessed us and some of the things we'd come through. And he said, some people said, Brother Jerry is my pet. And he patted me on top of the head like you would a little boy, you know. Of course, Brother Clark by then could get by about anything he wanted to do. He said he is, and I hope it doesn't hurt him. But I didn't go there because I was his pet. Our relationship has been good down through the years. And he has been a mentor of mine and had a lot of good influence over me and many others. But I didn't go there because I was his pet. But I didn't lose my respect for him when I went there either. When the church there voted for me, and some advice to the church, when you vote, stick with your vote if you think it's the Lord's will. When they voted for me, and I accepted, and then they voted again, and I went, and first Sunday night, Brother L.J. Andrews said to me, he said, we need to help some missionaries. We've got too much money. And I said, Brother L.J., why don't we wait a while? It'll look like I'm trying to be big dog first Sunday here. And he looked at me right square, and he said, you're as much our pastor tonight as you'll ever be. We all voted for you. If we didn't trust you, we wouldn't have voted for you. And we gave away a considerable amount of money that night. Took them 3 or 4 months before they asked me again. But I'm good at that. I'm not very much of a preacher, but I can give away money. And I told them, I said, I want to be careful about this. And we review our missions program, and we review our home and our foreign missionaries anymore, and we look at and pray about it. And if we ever stop yours or have stopped yours, we're not mad at anybody. We just want to help those we believe God lays on our heart. I think sometimes we feel good because we're throwing dollars at things and we're not careful enough. But I want the Lord to be with me. And I want to continue in Him, but I want the Lord to continue to be with me. I realize I've made enough messes in my life. Romans 12 and 12 and Colossians 4 and 2 both says continue in prayer. You need to talk to headquarters every once in a while, no matter how good things are going. Continue in prayer. In Acts 13:43, the Bible said he persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Whatever we are that's right and good is because God's bestowed grace upon us. That's all. I've had some fellas here at the conference tease me a little bit. One of them said when he got home, he's going to tell his church he sat in the same room with me. And I had a fellow over in Arkansas the other day, he said, I'd just like to touch you. I said, bro, don't do that. And he was teasing me. But it scares me. He really did. Brother Andy Sexton's down at Lynn. And I was telling him how the church of Paducah is taking care of him. And he said, could I just touch you? I said, brother, that's not why I was telling you. I'm telling you because I want to glorify the Lord. I don't want to be touched. And he was being frivolous. But it kind of embarrasses me because I know what I'm made out of. And we want to continue also in the faith. Believing total depravity that is inherited not from outside forces but from within us when we are born into this world. Grace is the only thing that relieves that. Believe in scriptural baptism by the authority of local New Testament churches. Churches only have two ordinances. Scriptural baptism, closed observance of the Lord's Supper. A church that examines itself. I want to continue in those things. I want to continue to support local church missionaries. I really don't think we're doing men a favor when we support them. I think it's an honor that God bestows upon our churches that we can have a part of faithful men's works. I really do. I don't think we're doing any great thing, Brother Gary Phillips. I think we're doing things to honor and glorify the Lord. And when we obey His Word, we're doing great things for our church. It brings the blessings of God on our church or our churches. Acts 14:22 talks about continue in the faith. We know, of course, that we should earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Acts 26:22, Paul before rulers said, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which Moses, the prophets and Moses did say should come. He said, I continue witnessing, brother. Troy, that's what we need to do, continue witnessing. I've had some discouraging times. I've thought about quitting. And I've given up a few nights in the wee hours of the morning when I didn't know what to do or even how to pray. But the only blessings are continuing. Witnessing, we don't win everybody we speak to. I spoke to a woman the other day in a place of business. She said, I moved from Florida, and I don't know where she came from, Brother Darrell. I said, I moved from Florida, and said, I've been looking for an independent missionary Baptist church. I said, to believe in local church truth, the doctrines of grace. She said, man, didn't know anybody around here believed that. And I said, we do. She said, that's what I'm looking for. My children, I'll be over there. That's 6 weeks ago. I see her, I'll invite her again. And I won't quit inviting people because she hasn't come. We won't quit witnessing to people because everybody we witness to hasn't been saved. You don't quit praying for your children because they disappoint you a few times. You may not approve, but you keep praying for them. We have some disappointments, but we still must continue. Still must continue. I still continue to give advice. Don't you? Now have three grandchildren and the fourth on the way, and she's the first little girl. Boy, we're going to have a time with her. But I give my son-in-law and daughter some advice once in a while. They don't want. Every once in a while I tell them, if you don't conquer him now, somebody else will when he's 16. You won't like it. There's some things need to continue today. And you could go, of course, you could chase rabbits. This, folks, children continue to need discipline. Foolishness is still bound in their heart. For the life of me, I've never understood this equation. A man my size and a 40-year-old child, and he's begging him to quit acting that way. When they've taken over the doctor's office or wherever they are, they're on an airplane, they've got everybody hostage, and nobody can do anything with them. We rode from Dallas a couple years ago to Nashville with two screaming memes that the stewardess couldn't even get in a seat and get a seatbelt on them before they landed. They had to land with those children crawling around the aisles. And everybody on the airplane was bigger than them. I don't understand that. I realize you can over-discipline. That's not the problem of our day. And it doesn't get solved in one day or one night or one spanking or one instance. It has to continue. But they shouldn't hold a captive audience wherever they go. And it needs to be done at home in the privacy of mom and dad. And they learn you mean what you say. Can't get them to sit down at the table to eat. They're not used to sitting down at the table to eat. I can fix that. Put up all the snacks. When food gets on the table, they won't eat. They get hungry, they'll come and eat. Say, that's mean. No, it's not. It's training. They either rule the roost or you teach them. And they're going to meet society that won't allow that someday. Well, that's enough meddling. Continue in sound doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:16 said, take heed unto thyself and unto doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. All of us preachers, we have but one source of material, basically, and that's this book. And everything we know has been preached before us. And we are to continue in sound doctrine. The blessings, read Hebrews 11 and apply this. The blessings are in continuing. Those who do not continue cannot expect blessings. That's why so many tried it for a while, didn't come out too good, and they quit. The blessings are in continuing. May the Lord bless you. And as you think of me, you pray for us. If there's been anything obnoxious tonight come out of my mouth, it hadn't been intended to be that way. It's been my intention to encourage all of us to continue. I don't have many more years left at best, and I'm aware of that. But I'd like for them to be the most profitable years of my ministry and life. As not in what I accomplish, but simply in being faithful. Just being faithful. We'll cause some disturbances without meaning to, but may the Lord help us to continue to be faithful. I don't want to throw away anything I may have established that's been a good influence. And I'm sure you don't either. So you pray for me, and I'll pray for you. Thank you, Brother Titus. Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother Asbury. Amen. You know, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you crown of life. And there's no quitting place. There's no stopping. Don't get laid off. You don't retire from the service of the Lord. When He's finished with you, that's the moment you'll die. When He's finished, we've finished our course, and there's nothing, He doesn't have any other purpose in our being here, if we're saved, that's when we'll go home. I really believe that. And continuing, of course, is the difference that you see. I say, I look back, many folks here, and many that I've known otherwise, when they were saved, they got what the rest of us got, who've been serving the Lord and going to church ever since. And those who don't didn't get what we got. Not saying they're not all saved, but they didn't get the dose of it we got, something. Let me see here. I'll save this for just before the next speaker. So if you'll stand, we'll sing, and you can go out, come back, and then we'll have some specials and...